I did not realize until I got into it how important this character is. In fact, this may be one of the most important, I think, most important characters in the Bible, okay? He's a very obscure character. You don't hear much about. But you may not think that he's one of these high-profile Bible characters, the echelon of the characters. But this may be, when we get through today, I hope you see how important this young man was. And if you have your note cards, which I believe you do, we're going to look at the character of Stephen. Stephen was what we call the first Christian martyr. That means the first one Christian martyr that died for his faith. And we're going to look at everything around him, because this is a really, really tremendous story here today. So what you may need to do with your Bible is we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 60. We're not going to cover each one of those verses. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and Acts chapter 22, 19 through 20. I put that on your pages because I'm going to refer to those in the points today. But let's get into this. Because I know, where's Al at? Al, I see, turn around. See what's on that back wall? That's a clock. Okay?
I would like to say something before you start this.
Okay.
You all know Carol Canada, the guy that's been.
Yes.
We took Carol home from MD Anderson yesterday, and they told him there was nothing further they could do than to just be with his family.
That's Carol Canada. He lives in Brenham, Texas, and never missed coming in here early on Sunday morning. And so the cancer finally got to the end, and so Helen and them are up there. And so, Al, thank you. She's up there kind of by herself now.
There's a lot of friends, a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, Carol's a gem of a guy. He wants to always do and be, and he sure wasn't one of these guys that give up, but they honored what the doctor said, and they went home. Okay. Carol Canada, a giant of a man. Okay. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Stephen today, and let me just give you a little background, kind of the introduction. In Acts chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Here's the deal about Stephen. The Bible says, let's just look at what the Bible says right here. Acts chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. If you have your Bible. And the same pleased the whole multitudes, and they chose Stephen. They were looking for a group of people that would be servants, that would be volunteers. They were looking for people that would take over. You see, this is right after Jesus ascended into heaven. Now we have what is called the Acts of the Apostles. That's why they call it the Book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. And we're seeing how they acted after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and ascended into heaven. And so they got together, and the 12 called the multitudes together and said that we need to work on something here, because we need some help here. The job's too big for us. So they chose what was called the deacons here to serve the tables. And it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look at..." Holy moly. Look out among yourself and get seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and who will make... Yeah, go ahead and turn that off. I won't need the mics. Oh.
Excuse us, it's a one-man job here.
This is what they call an aggie moment.
Yeah, Aggie moment here. Hallelujah, connect. Right. So they're chosen seven laymen, seven men that would take care of things here. Well, it says here that verse number 5, "And the same pleased the whole multitudes, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, and they chose that he had the Holy Spirit, and he had power." And it shows the other men that they chose. They chose Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas. Verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." And it said the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly because they were working together. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was selected by them. Secondly, what I want you to know is not only was he one of the seven that was chosen by the people to assist the apostle, but Stephen also was a scholar. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, he wasn't some, he just said that he was not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He was a very learned man. Also, Stephen had false charges against him. If you look at verses 11 through 13, and when they said, we have heard of him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. See, there were some people there that had criticism about him. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him before the councils. See, the Jewish religious leaders heard that he was saying things, and so they brought him before the people, the Sanhedrin, and they were going to kind of accuse him of things. In verse 13, they set up false witnesses. Do you see what it says there? They had false charges against him, false witnesses, and this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. See, here's what they were worried about. They were worried about the law. They were worried about Old Testament. They were worried about the way it used to be. We're in a new day now. Jesus is ascended into heaven. We've got the disciples, and so they're choosing strong men that are going to get the word out. Well, it did not please a lot of the Sanhedrin or the Jewish religious leaders, so they brought him before the council, and they're going to accuse him of things. Pick it up, verse number 15. And they all sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him. You got the picture? They're staring at him. They're so angry at Stephen, they're staring at him. And they saw his face, and as it had been really the face of an angel, because the way he was looking back to them, his countenance, everything was good. That's the end of chapter 6 here. And so what I want you to see about Stephen today is he made a real big decision. He made a decision. We're going to start with chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. Then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? So the high priest, the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, turned to Stephen and said, these charges against you, is this true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. So here's what he's going to do here. He's going to have the right method here, because he's going to be available to witness in the temple. This is a great opportunity for him. He's a layman. I'm not discounting that, but he's not one of these religious leaders. But they brought this layman in there. He's a very smart man, full of the Holy Ghost, and they're charging him being blasphemous, the same thing they did with Jesus. And so they're charging him with some false charges against him. So he stands up there, and he's going to speak to them. And he had the right method, and he also had the right mind. He was going to be willing to give answers. The Bible says, be willing to give answers concerning your faith in Christ Jesus. So here he was. He's got a huge audience there, all the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, and he had a right mind about him. He was willing to give them an answer. And also, number three, he knew his audience. He knew his audience, and so he's going to give them the right message that they need to hear. And you're going to see it in just a moment. It's a pretty long one here. But he had the right method. He was going to be available. He was ready to give answers concerning his faith, and he's going to give them the right message, because he knew his audience, and he knew, let me just put this in quote, he knew his Bible. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament. Now, that's what they were hanging on to, is the Old Testament. So the next thing we see here is the declaration of Stephen, and it's verses 3 through 53. I'm not going to read every one of this, so I'm going to highlight 3 through 53 for you if you want to mark your Bible. But in verse number 3, he begins to tell them and remind them, because he had the facts and everything, the message here. He's going to remind them of God's covenant with Abraham, verses really 3 through 8. He's also he went on in verses 9 through 16. He's going to tell them and remind them of Israel's rejection of Joseph. They rejected Joseph. Then he goes on in verses 7 through 41. He's going to admonish him about Israel's rejection of Moses. 7 through 41 is how the Jewish people rejected Moses. And then he's going to go through and he's going to continue to talk about Moses for a long time. And he's going to get down to verse 42, and he's going to talk about Israel's rejection of all the prophets, verses 42 through 50. So this is a long discourse, folks. You know, there's no use going verse by verse on this. Here's what happened. As he's telling the Sanhedrin, they're all out there, he's going over an Old Testament lesson with them. He knew they knew the Old Testament, and he's reminding them of how they rejected Moses and they rejected the prophets. They rejected all this rejection. And he just, while he had them, he just told them how the cow ate the cabbage. And so he gets down to verse 44 through verse 50, and that's when they rejected all of the prophecy. I mean, he could just clean house. He was exhaustive about this. You rejected Moses, and you rejected all the prophets. You rejected everything. They told you what was going to happen. They told you the story. I have a class at 8 o'clock that Dr. Denny Autry and Dr. Charles Savelle and I teach. Oh, thank you. She's so sweet. I love you. I couldn't go get my own water, could I? We teach at 8 o'clock, and we're gonna start in January with a series on the minor prophets. And my experience with the prophets is they all said the same thing. You guys are going to die. You guys have disobeyed God, and you're going to die. And that was their message. You're gonna die. You've been disobedient. You're gonna die. So for these people to know the Old Testament, especially the prophets there, they never heeded the warning of the Old Testament prophets. So here's what he did. He declared. Here's what Stephen did. He declared in verses 3 through 53 in chapter 7. He declared to them. He gave them the facts about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And he gave him a witness. He had an opportunity to share Christ, and he's not going to waffle away from this. He's going to stand before them, and he's going to share Christ. He was very bold about what he was doing, and he was going to share a witness with them. But he was going to give them an opportunity to repent. He was going to give them an opportunity to change. Here they brought him in before them because they wanted to accuse him, and they wanted to find him guilty of blaspheming, but he hasn't been. These were false charges. And so he gives them an Old Testament lesson here in all these verses, and I didn't want to go through each one of them with you, because he gave them all the facts, and he shared a witness with them, and he gave them an opportunity. We've said this before in this class, that successful witnessing is sharing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. And that's exactly what Stephen did here. That's exactly what he did here. He shared Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't matter what the outcome was going to be. Now, you do know that there's a possibility, because of what he said, he's going to die. If you do know this story, he does die. Okay? But that did not hold him back from giving them the facts and the witness and also an opportunity. He was sharing Christ. The next point is he is called the death of Stephen, and that's found in verses 54 through 60. 54 through 60. The testimony or the declaration he gave was verses 3 through 57, but the death of Stephen is found in chapter 7, verse 54 through 60. It says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were happy. No, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, standing. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man. Don't you know he's just irritating the snot out of them? I see heaven open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. See, they still did not want to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. Verse 57, at this they covered their ears, and they're yelling at the top of their voices, and they rushed at him, and they dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named who?
Saul.
Don't miss this. At the stoning of Stephen, Saul was there. He was consenting unto his death, in other words. Remember, he hated Christians.
He wanted them to eat ground glass. He hated Christians. He was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians when he had the conversion of Saul there. But right now, he's not converted yet. He's still the old Saul. And he is holding their coats. He's holding their coats, the Bible says, while they stoned to death this young man named Stephen. Verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. Here's what Stephen prayed. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep and he died. He fell asleep and he died. And what happened to him, he was the Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was confident of his courage. The boldness and courage he had was supplied to him by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't in the flesh. For him to stand up in front of the Sanhedrin and say what he said to them, that you are vile, you're vipers, you disrespected all of the prophets, everybody in the Old Testament, everything, and yet you think you're a scholar in the Old Testament. You've rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But he was confident in his courage. He was also confident of his conviction. He was willing, the Bible says in these verses, that he was confident even unto death. He was confident even unto death. That's the phrase that goes with this. Also, he was confident of his Creator. He said to him, do not hold this against them. As he was praying, do not hold this against them. See, Israel had committed two murders and about to commit the third. In allowing John the Baptist to be slain, they rejected the Father who had sent John to prepare the way for Christ. When they crucified Christ, they rejected the Son. The son, now in slaying Stephen, they're going to be committing the final unpardonable sin in resisting the Holy Spirit. They're doing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit here. God would have forgiven the nation of its treatment of his son, but he could not forgive the Jews when they resisted the Holy Spirit. Stephen's prayer shows his love for the people and reminds us of Christ's intercession on the cross. This is the most important thing about today's lesson. I want you to see. This layman, an obscured layman, I want you to see his influence. He's not one of giant Bible characters like I told you, but I want you to see the influence that he has, number one, on the presence of Paul. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1 through 30. Acts chapter 8, 1 through 3. You remember Paul was there. And Saul approved of their killing of him. And on that day, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul, yeah. But Saul began to destroy the church. He is livid. He's on a rampage. And look what it says. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them into prison. Saul was there. The church of believers was scattered. He was initiating this persecution and this wiping out of these believers. Saul was there. But let me tell you what it also had. Not only was the influence of Stephen on the presence of Saul, but then the impact on Paul. This is the best part. Turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, all the way almost to the end. Let me brief you what's happened between Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 22. What's happened is Saul got saved. On the road to Damascus, he got saved. And then all of a sudden, he went apart by himself to study and to learn. Then he came out, and his job was to begin to preach the gospel all around. And all the missionary journeys and going into all the towns and all the cities, and he would start churches. He'd witness two or three people be saved, he'd start a church. And y'all know this scenario. He'd start churches, then he'd go over to another city and start another one. And he'd go over to another city and start another one. Then he'd ride back to this city over here, and he would admonish them on things they're not doing they should be doing. He would pat them on the back for things that they were doing that were good. And so Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. They're called epistles. They're letters back to these churches, a group of believers. And so he gets to the end of all this. He gets to Acts chapter 22. That's what's happened between Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, verses 19 to 20. Lord, I replied, Paul is speaking here. These people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, you see that? Paul remembered Saul, Paul, whatever you want to call him. Saul remembered Stephen. I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. That's part of Saul, Paul's testimony. It went all the way back to Stephen. He never forgot. He never got over the killing of Stephen. He never got over being there holding the clothes of the people that stoned him to death. He never got over how this man responded at his death. He never got over of the look that was on his face. He couldn't get it out of his mind. And I'm just telling you, evidently this was very, very instrumental in Saul coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Very, very, very instrumental. And that's the impact it had on him. Let's close out with some lessons that I picked out of this deal to learn from Stephen's death. Number one, he was a man full of faith, and he has power with God and people. This was a young layman who had faith and power with God and people. Stephen was a perfect example. He had the endorsement of God in what he was doing, but of the other believers, he stood strong and tall in their midst. He also, knowing the Word of God, brings conviction. I would say that he knew the Word of God. Look at that long discourse he has in the Old Testament. I would say he's an Old Testament scholar. I would say that he really knew his Word. He really knew the story of the prophets. He really knew how the nation of Israel had rejected all of God's Word and all of God's people. All during those years, he had it stored up into his heart and mind, so when he had an opportunity to speak, he just let them have it. He just reminded them. Reminded them not only them personally, but their ancestors, how they rejected God and the prophets and all that. So he knew the Word of God, and it brought conviction even to the religious people. He knew the Word of God well. Number three, he was a layman that was martyred, caused the gospel to spread. He caused the gospel to spread. We have Paul's writings today because of the faithful testimony of Stephen. Stephen was a person, reminds us that a person does not die, his influence lives on. You see, Stephen is still living today in us, in the Word, in the millions who have read the account of his faith in the Word of God. And lastly, Stephen, a layman, not an apostle, not the Pope, not a preacher, but a layman, was the first Christian martyr. Jesus, this is very interesting. At the very end, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7:55, maybe you missed this. It's one of those things you can miss. Acts chapter 7, verse 55, it says that Jesus stood to receive him into heaven. He stood. Now, we don't have another account of Jesus standing. Another account, but Stephen, out of honor and out of respect for this layman, Jesus placed an importance upon the work of lay people. This witness was dead, but the truth lives on. And his very dying, he had sown the seed of a mighty harvest to come from the heart of one of the hardest men in the world, Saul, Apostle Paul. And so the first martyr, sealing his testimony with his blood, reveals to us how important this thing is. I'm believing, after this week of looking at this, that Stephen may be, I know you can debate me over this, you can do it next week, Stephen was one of the most influential, powerful Bible characters with his message that we have studied or will study. I know about Jesus, I know about all that, but I'm going to tell you what, you just look at what Stephen did in the midst of Saul, that caused Saul to be so much under conviction that Saul was easy for the Holy Spirit to deal with him on the road to Damascus to save him. And what God did and the Holy Spirit did in Saul's life, Paul, that brought him about to sharing the gospel around the world, all of those people are linked back to Stephen. It was because of Stephen that Paul was able to be the influence, the impact he has all over the world. So I think Stephen, believe it or not, to me is one of the most influential, powerful people as far as characters and their message for you and me. That's my opinion. Any comment on Stephen?